The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What's in the GES bookstore? Find out today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. So we're currently in a series that we're calling What's in the GES Bookstore. GES, the Grace Evangelical Society, publishes lots of books, books that can help you grow and mature in your faith. Hope you'll take us up on some of those books by going to faithalone.org. We've got lots of content that's free there. Now, I got the special opportunity to sit down with Dr. Bob Wilkin and talk about one of his books called Confident in Christ. This is an important book that we all want you to take a look at. So I want to share the conversation I had with Dr. Bob Wilkin here on Grace in Focus.
What's up, Lucas?
Hey, Bob.
What are we doing today?
Well, we are on Grace in Focus. We're going to talk about a book called Confident in Christ, which I think you have quite a bit of familiarity with, if I had to guess.
I do notice the alliteration. It's got C and C, Confident in Christ.
Talk about brilliant. Well, we are currently in a series that we're calling What's in the Bookstore, and we are talking about books that have been published. Actually, a lot of them have been published by others, but are carried by the Grace Evangelical Society now. A lot of them have been published by you guys. And so this one is by Robert N. Wilkin. Now, that sounds familiar.
I used to go by Robert.
You used to go by Robert. Okay, so you wrote this book in
1999. Well, I wrote it before then, but it was published in 1999.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about Confident in Christ. What was the need for this book? What was going on when you conceived of the need for this writing?
Well, it's interesting. A couple of side stories. When I was at Multnomah, then School of the Bible, now it's Multnomah University, I had written a book from the time I got my doctorate till the time I started teaching at Multnomah on the doctrine of salvation, which is essentially what Confident Christ is. Since I was teaching at Multnomah School of the Bible, they had their own press, Multnomah Press, and so I took this book to them and said, hey, are you interested? And I remember one of the most sobering experiences was I met with one of the editors after another editor had read through it, and the other editor's comment was, the book was exceedingly tedious to read, especially the exegetical sections.
Ouch!
So I was like, okay, I've got some work to do. So then, that was 1986, maybe 87, the 86-87 school year. Fast forward, this is 1999 when we published this, so 13 years later. What happened was I went full-time with Grace Evangelical Society in 1987, and we started, I'd already had newsletters for a year, but starting in 87, in around July of 87, they became Meteor, and Meteor, M-E-A-T-I-E-R.
Oh, I wasn't sure what that meant.
Meteor, more meat.
Like barbecue.
Yeah. But yet, I was also trying to not make them tedious. So what happened was the first probably 5 years, Zane Hodges read every article before I published it and made comments and suggestions. And I would say the first 2 or 3 years, the articles were 50% Zane, 50% me, even though they carried my name.
Yeah.
And then starting in around 1990 to 92 or 3, they were like 75% me, 25% Zane.
Okay.
And then after that, he stopped writing things for me, and he even stopped editing a lot of the stuff I did. So they became like 99% what I was doing. But I still had his input through the years. Well, what this was, Confident in Christ, I had something like, if I remember right, I think I had 40 or 50 newsletter articles on various passages and topics. And so we found an editor from David C. Cook, this woman who had retired. She was about 66 or 7, and she was willing to edit my book.
Okay.
So I think we gave her 200 hours to edit the book. And Lucas, it was so humbling to start out with, because I gave her like 50 chapters.
Yeah.
And the first thing she did was eliminate 34 of the 50 chapters. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
She's like, no, we're going to cut this down to 16 chapters.
Wow, okay.
And so she eliminated all of the weakest chapters. It's like, what's the key to being a good photographer?
A lot of it's selection.
Like, yeah. So you take a lot of pictures and you throw most of them away, right?
Yeah,
you select the best ones.
Yeah.
Well, that's what she did. So what happened was she picked 16 in four different categories. And then she told me, I need you to write anchor chapters for these four categories. And the four categories were saving faith. And so I wrote an anchor chapter on saving faith and focus. And then assurance, and I wrote an anchor on assurance and focus. Eternal security, and I wrote an anchor on eternal security and focus. And then perseverance, and I wrote a chapter on perseverance and focus. Then under each of those sections, I had four chapters dealing with these issues. Some of them were problem passages. A few of them were just passages that established the doctrine, like John 3:16, for example. But most of them were problem passages. And then I had appendices on lordship salvation, baptism and salvation, repentance and salvation, something about hermeneutics, my approach to understanding God's word, and then some definitions. So this book kind of covered the waterfront. And you can see there's a picture of me on the back when I was about 47, probably. I don't know, but I was much younger than I am now in 1999.
Well, but it still holds up. I mean, you guys recovered it not too long ago.
Yeah, we did do a new cover, and we have revised some of the content, as I recall. But yeah, I've been pleased with it, that for some reason God has used it in a mighty way. In fact, funny story, Lucas, Earl Rodmacher, who everybody called him Dr. R, and he was the president at Western Conservative Baptist Theological Seminary in Portland for many, many years, and then he went on to Phoenix Seminary and was influential in lots of free grace works. He told me, he said, Bob, this book is going to be a big one. He said, I think I can sell 10,000 copies myself.
Wow.
And when he would get behind books, he would travel and speak everywhere, and he would take 50 or 100 books with him, and he would sell them. So he said, don't just print 5,000 copies. Why don't you print 15,000?
Wow.
So we printed 15,000. Well, guess what? The printer had the option, this option of printing what's called overage. Back in the day, you didn't do printing on demand.
Yeah, yeah.
So we printed 15,000, and the printer actually printed 16,500.
Okay.
And we had to pay for the 16,500.
Okay.
Because when they print overage, unless they're damaged, you're paying for those.
Yeah, okay.
And so we had 16,500 copies. Mm. Well, I think it took us 2012 or something, or 2015, before we ran out of those 16,500. But we eventually sold them all.
Wow.
And we've since reprinted. And so that makes, of my books, the most we've ever sold. I'm not exactly sure why. I think part of it has to do with it was my first book. And part of it has to do with the fact that the editor was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, she cut out the stuff that wasn't going to be interesting. And she helped me with the parts that were interesting to make it a little more reader-friendly.
Yeah.
And she picked four concepts that we were going to hit. Because assurance is an important issue, saving faith is an important issue, eternal security, and perseverance.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's kind of like four books in one.
Yeah. It's like if you had to kind of distill it for us, what is the argument of this book? What is the conclusion, the bottom line?
It's kind of like four separate conclusions, but the basic point is much like what we talked about in the previous episode about the hungry inherit, that everlasting life is a free gift to all those who simply believe in Jesus for it. We're simply persuaded that as Messiah, he guarantees everlasting life to those who believe in him for that life. That once they believe in that, they're eternally secure.
Yeah.
The second section deals with assurance. And basically, the way we have assurance is by believing the promise of everlasting life. And I argue in this section that assurance is certainty. It's not some level of confidence, which was the common view in 1999. It's the common view today. But no, it was certainty. And then the eternal security section is basically following up on that and saying, once we are assured that we have everlasting life, that's what we know we have, because everlasting life is eternal security. And the final section on perseverance is something we're commanded to do, but it's not guaranteed. And that we can understand all of the problem passages in the New Testament that are warning, believers about falling away by saying that, yes, believers can fall away. You know, you get a kick out of this, Lucas, but a couple of weeks ago I debated a Roman Catholic named Robert Sungenis. You can see it if you go to YouTube and type in Wilkin Sungenis debate. But anyway, in the course of the debate, he said something like, there's all kinds of warning passages in the New Testament that clearly say real believers can fall away. And I said, yeah, that's absolutely right. He said, what did you say? I said, yeah, that's absolutely right. Of course, we can't lose everlasting life. So even if we fall away, we still have everlasting life. He said, what? This is heresy. Did you just hear him? He just said heresy. And I was cracking up. But that is the position of many people. But perseverance is a condition of eternal rewards of ruling with Christ. Yeah. So I think that's why maybe the book had a significant influence. It still is. I mean, God's still using it. And I'm so thankful. And, you know, one thing this reminds me of is Zane Hodges has been dead now for 14 years. And yet his writings still speak.
They're still going,
His messages are still on YouTube.
Yeah.
They're still on the Zane Hodges Library. They're still on our website and other places.
Yeah.
If the Lord tarries and I depart this life and go to be with the Lord, I'm hopeful that Confident Christ and some of these other books will still have a ministry in people's lives, because my desire is that in my feeble attempts to communicate God's word accurately, some people are going to read it and they're going to be influenced.
Yeah.
I am very thankful for editors, because over the years, I think I've gotten easier to read, easier to follow. I remember Dr. Ryrie used to say, the heart of theological research is to be able to communicate complex ideas in very simple, easy-to-understand ways. And Dr. Ryrie was a master at that.
Yeah.
And I think I've gotten better at it. I'm thankful to God, but I hope I keep on. And if the Lord tarries and if I have health, I hope I'm still writing books in my 80s. We'll see.
Absolutely. I'll suggest, as one reader to another, I think you ought to get a copy of Confident in Christ. You can find that at faithalone.org or on Amazon or wherever you get your favorite books. This might be your next favorite. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about two great books, The Gospel Under Siege and Grace in Eclipse. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.